Hallelujah. When there's a hill in front of you, there's three types of people that confront hills. There's ones that look at it and say, that hill's going to wear me out. I'm just not going to do it. Then there's a kind that says, that hill's going to wear me out. I need to find an easier way to get up that hill. Then there's the ones that climb that hill and say, man, that wore me out. I need to climb that hill more often. Amen. It's the ones that decide to climb the hill more often are the ones that advance in life. Because we decide that instead of giving in to what fatigues us, we need to build up endurance to overpower what fatigues us. And at my age, I'm finding that I have to find ways to overpower what fatigues me. I know, I look young, but I'm not. We had a wonderful day yesterday. Couldn't have went better. It was an absolute miracle. All that coming together. And that many people there for prayer, a prayer summit. And representing prayer ministries from all over. And we've got several that are making contact with us. It has really grabbed people's attention. We got people from other states that are making contact with us and wanting to build this network. And it's just for the purpose of prayer. You know, we had over 100 intercessors and prayer leaders show up yesterday in Branson with no big names there, no name and face recognition. Anybody who's been in this thing as long as I have, you know that if you want to get a crowd, you got to have somebody with name and face recognition to be there so people are attracted to that. Yesterday, there was none of that. There was just us. And there was over 100 people showed up. And we prayed. We discussed prayer. We discussed prayer initiatives. And then the latter part, yesterday afternoon, we did prayer. And well, the whole day was prayer, really. I mean, thank God for the flow, the anointing. And what really excited me yesterday is I saw every gift and talent in the body of Christ functioning together fluidly without any tidal waves. Amen. Amen. When you understand the variable fluidity of humanity, you understand that one thing can cause a wave, and next thing you know, this thing's taking off a whole different direction. You know? But it didn't do that. The flow just kept moving. And God was glorified through all that. And I thank you. This church body did the majority of all the work and put that on. And I thank you for that. Workers, amen. I was walking out and Sister Betty Jane opened the door for me and I said, thank you. And she said, I'm just a doorkeeper. And I said, that is as important as the guy that was up there doing the speaking. Amen. We've got to get over this thing of levels. There are no levels. The people that set up tables are as anointed and powerful and as necessary as the speakers are. We've got to get that in our hearts. The administration, do you realize that would not have happened yesterday if it hadn't been for people that had the administrative gift? Amen. That's what made that thing happen. Praise God. Every part of the body of Christ was represented there yesterday. And thank God for that. Praise God. I even got a message from somebody. I don't know who it was. And I asked for more information, asking me to participate in some round table with some major ministries across the nation. And I thought, where did that come from? You know, I don't know who they, you know, I don't have any connection that I know of. So I said, send me more information. I need to know what's going on. Amen. So we'll just see what God's doing. I mean, we are moving in this weekend. We didn't know this when we scheduled the date for this prayer synod. We scheduled the date for this prayer synod on Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And when I began to realize what had happened and the timing, I thought, wow, that's not an accident. And this year, the Jewish calendar this year is 5784. Now, our calendar, 2023, it starts what they presume to be the year that Jesus Christ was born. So every atheist that says the date is declaring that Jesus was born. I love that. That's amazing. But the Jewish calendar is calculated the best that they could. They calculate from the beginning of time when God created. And so according to the Jewish calendar, it is 5784. Now, the four on the end of that date means the year of the open door. I like that. 5784, the year of the open door. It even rhymes, you know. Open doors. We are living in a time where it seems like doors are closing. And if you use the sight of your natural eyes, you look around and you think, man, this thing is wrapping up. The Antichrist has taken over. You know, a lot of people are running scared, planning their exit, digging their rabbit holes to go down, just in case everything goes wrong. I don't know how to tell you to prepare for anything like that, because we're living in a day where just your heat signature, they can find you from a satellite hundreds of feet in the air. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. And we've been stocking up food, but I got to, you know, you look at that. Sister Betty has canned everything you can can. I've been afraid she's going to can me here pretty soon. I mean, I've been saying I don't know how to build anymore. You know, I don't know where we're going to put all this stuff. She has canned everything. And when our boys come to visit, first thing they do sometimes, go downstairs and go shopping. Because she makes some of the best canned jellies you can imagine. I mean, it's just amazing. So, we try to prepare, we try to plan, we try to, you know, we should do that anyway. We are so subject to trusting the infrastructure of America, and it is so fragile. You know, our electrical grid is so fragile. It could go down tomorrow. You know, I've done missions work in countries where they might have electricity 1 hour a day, might have electricity 2 hours, they might not have electricity at all. You just never know. And when it comes on, it comes on. And when it goes off, it goes off. There's no warning. You know, there's just, and so you have to plan accordingly. I've been in other countries where the electric grid is, you know, for somebody that's done electrical work my whole life, I just shake my head and say, how does this work? I mean, they'll run power lines to an area, and the first house on that power line might have 500 volts running to it. How do you run anything on that, you know? And just the resistance of the wire, the further you get away from that, the lower, can you imagine this, Mike? the further you get away from it. By the time you get down, you know, a few miles, the house on the end of it barely has enough electricity to light, you know, run a light. And I'm looking at that thinking, how do you run anything with that? I've been in other countries, for 15 years we helped work in Haiti. And they'll take a rock and tie around some wire. They'll tear a fence line down or something. They'll get some wire and they'll tie that wire around a rock and they'll throw it over the neutral on that power line. There's just enough static electricity on that neutral running back that, and then they'll run it into their little hut and hook a light up to it, and there's just enough static to run that light. And you see, you go down the road, you see these rocks and wire hanging over power lines and running into the window of a banana leaf mud hut, and they got them a light. And if they leave them on there long enough, they can even charge their cell phone. I'll never forget when we first went to Rwanda, me and Sister Betty was walking, trying to get to a church, and it was a rainy season. Thank God we've got a four-wheel drive vehicle there now. But it was a rainy season, and we sit in a hut, one of these banana leaf mud huts, for 4 hours while this torrential rain come down. I mean, I'd open little wood windows and look out, and it was white, just a white out. It was raining so hard. And it finally let up, and we started our trek to this village, which was several villages away on mud roads that had just had torrential rain, and us white folks was not doing real well. We could not walk in that stuff. Me and Sister Betty is trying to walk. I mean, the mud was up like this, and we're trying to walk, and it's slick, and we're sliding and carrying on. We had to walk all the way over there. And I'll never forget walking through this one village. And we walk into this village, and I look over, and this elderly woman standing over there, smiling, has one tooth. All she's got, just one tooth right in the front. She's standing there smiling, and on her dress is a cell phone. There wasn't electricity. There wasn't running water, besides what had just poured on us. There wasn't roads. There's nothing but mud huts with banana leaf roofs. And there she stood with a cell phone. And I thought, how does she even charge that thing? We don't, here in America, we don't understand how that could happen or how we could survive. And so when we look around and we look at our life and we look at what's going on, we look at the threats that are against us, it's easy to come to a place where we think, well, we don't need to plan anything. We need to somehow circle the wagons and protect ourselves. And, you know, everything's at a standstill. The money situation's looking awful. You know, how do we do this? And yet, when you get in the prayer room and you start talking to God, He doesn't seem to understand that it's time to shut everything down. And here we're coming into 5784, the year of the open door, and I'm feeling in my spirit that there are doors that are open to us and we need to go through. And I'm saying, God, how do we do this? Come on. Show us how to do this. I've been preaching on the spoils of war, and I kind of stalled out on that because I'm waiting for some answers on some things. I've been saying, okay, God, I'm to the point of preaching on provision, and I don't really understand what's going on. But you know what I've been hearing lately? I've been hearing that it's time for the church to learn how to look at something and not see it as nothing, but see it as a possibility of a miracle. I can't even imagine being one of the disciples and coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, there's a multitude of people here. They're hungry. The disciples were not in a good mood. You got to understand, Jesus took them out there to rest. They were wore out. They just got back from being sent out, casting out devils. I mean, they were tired. And they just get back, and Jesus says, okay, you know, let's go into out here, and you guys need to rest. And they go out there, and next thing you know, people's hunting for them. I got to tell you something. When you're carrying the thing that holds the provision of somebody's need, those people that have need will come hunting for the one carrying the provision. I've seen people say, oh, I want to operate in the power of God. And then they get upset if you ask them to do something. You don't understand. If you operate in the power of God, there's going to be a demand put on your life, on your time, on everything about you. And it'll drain you dry. Come on, I realize sometimes I don't paint a fantasy picture of things. I'm very realistic about things. I want you to know something. There is no glory road in ministry. There's no glory road. If you operate in the power of God, if you operate in ministry, it'll drain the life out of you. And you have to know how to get in the presence of God and stay full. In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus made a statement. He said, I am the door. I am the door. We're entering into a year that says, that talks about open doors. But Jesus has been the door ever since he rose from the dead. He is the door. He is our entrance. He is our way in. We have to trust him and say, God, I trust you. He says, I am the door. Hallelujah. Let me turn to that real fast. I am the door. If anyone comes in, they will find green pastures, I believe is how it says it. He said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. In other words, you will have the provision that you need because I am the door to the provision. Hallelujah. We have to understand that Jesus, you can't come up with some kind of algorithm to get things out of God. That's what we do all the time. We're trying to figure out what we can do to get what we want from God. You know, if I was to write a book today on 10 steps to the provision of God, I'd be a number one bestseller. But if I write a book that talks about entering into the prayer room to be in relationship, to seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things should be added to it. If I talk about the fact that you got to just simply learn how to come into the relationship that Jesus has established, people don't want to hear that. They want to know how to do it without having to put out the effort of relationship. That helps if I grin after I say something real mean. Prostitution is the offering of the benefits without the connection. And many times we treat God like he's running some kind of prostitution ring. We want the benefits, but we don't want to make the connection. We don't want to have to go through the emotional entanglement of relationship. Relationship has emotional entanglement in it. You have to understand that you are dealing with a human being that has needs, has feelings, and is valuable. And so you have to approach life, approach your mate in a state of value. And you have to invest value. You have to invest time. You have to invest relationship. Our relationship with God, the church, is not some kind of prostitution ring where we come and we pay and get a few steps and that gets you into the blessing of God. That is not what we're doing. This isn't about you getting blessed. This is about you coming to be a real bona fide child of God. Somebody that's in relationship. Somebody that doesn't come to the door and ask for a handout, but somebody that comes in and sits down at the table and eats with the Father. You can never run out of people that want you to give them the blessing. I've had people come up in times where we've been operating in the power and anointing of God. I've had people come up and say, lay your hands on me and impart to me that anointing. I want to knock them down. And it wouldn't be the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a good way to get slain in the Snyder instead of in the Spirit. You know why? Because you can't have this unless you spend the time in prayer, unless you spend the time in the Word of God, if you're not willing to go into the prayer room and find out who it is that you're actually serving, who it is that you're connecting to, who it is that's empowering you. If you don't have the time to spend with Him, don't try to get the benefits and the blessings. Wow, I did not intend to preach like this morning. But I've gotten weary. With the adulterous approach of Christianity in America. It's the devil that wants to court you. God wants to be in covenant with you. Satan will court you. Man, why am I going down this road? Unfaithfulness is always determined by three things: pride and arrogance, boredom, and resentment. Pride and arrogance, boredom, if we don't invest in a relationship, it'll come to destruction. If you get to the point where you're not intrigued by your mate anymore, you're in a dangerous place. Because the devil is always courting you, trying to get your attention and attract you. We have to demand of ourselves to respect. Man, why am I talking like that? We have to demand of ourselves to appreciate. We have to demand of ourselves to sow into a relationship. When you get to the point where you just take from a relationship, you are not in a relationship. Amen. Wow. Holy Spirit's trying to get something across to us this morning. This is not about you walking. I want to preach on the blessing of the Lord so bad I can't understand it. Because I believe in the blessing of God. I believe in the provision of God. I believe in all that. But it's time for the church to stop courting God to get the blessing and the benefit. We act like a young man that courts a woman long enough until she goes to bed with him, and then he's done with her. That's how we act with God. We seek after God as long as we have a need, and once that need is met, we're done with him. We don't have time to worship anymore. We don't have time to go to church anymore. We don't have time to pray anymore because we got our need met. A real relationship is where you can get your need met and still spend hours relating. Man, woo! Some of y'all were saying, man, you're at the wrong church today. You should have went somewhere else. No, I'm not. I'm preaching to us. We've got to start respecting the fact that he has opened the door for us to come into the Holy of Holies. Book of Hebrews, chapter 10, says we can come in to the holy place. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. I've got that wrote down right here. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. Let's read that. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh, are you listening to what I'm saying? Therefore, having boldness. I'm talking about getting to go in somewhere we don't belong. I'm talking about going in somewhere that is cut off from humanity. And now all of a sudden Jesus come down and said, I am the door, and I'm getting ready to open a door to a place that is off limits to humanity. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. I got to tell you something. When we go into the presence of God, we talk about the presence of God. And I love, man, there's times we get in the presence of God around here, and it is awesome. It is wonderful. But I'm telling you, sometimes all we're doing is recognizing the fact that he has a presence. We haven't gone deep into the presence of God yet. Sometimes we get goosebumps because we actually feel the presence of angels. That's what you feel. You feel the presence of heaven's messengers that have shown up. If you ever get close to a sentry, which is a gatekeeper, they are large angels. They have authority and they have power. If you ever get close to one of those, your skin literally vibrates on your body. That's a powerful experience. I've felt it many times. It's literally like your skin is vibrating on your body, and it's a strange feeling. Because they carry an authority and a presence. But that's just angels. He said, I'm inviting you, and I'm opening the door for you to come in to the very holy of holies, the place where I dwell, the place where my presence dwells. If you've ever experienced that, that is not a goosebump situation. That's a fall on your face on the floor situation and saying, God, I don't even belong here. It's a fearful thing. It's one of the most terrifying experiences I've ever had in my life is when I come into a place after weeks of fasting and prayer, and I come into a place where God literally manifests himself to me in my home, and it was terrifying. Not in an evil way, but the holiness of God is beyond description. And without his grace and mercy, without the blood of Jesus, we can't stand his presence. We'll die in his presence. Our fleshly body can't take the presence of God. But thank God we have a covering called the blood of Jesus. It's a great cloak that he puts on us, and we can enter in to the very holy place of God. We're being invited in to a place that only Adam and Eve experienced. And then the high priest every year got to go in. You know, I had one messianic rabbi tell me, he said, do you realize there was not a door on the veil? I said, no, I didn't. He said, do you realize that that veil was so heavy that they couldn't even pick it up and crawl under? He said, in order for that priest to get into the holy place, he had to stand out front with his worship, incense burning. And God had to conduct him supernaturally into his presence. I never knew that. He said there was no door on in the veil. But Jesus, when he died on the cross and rose again, Brother Ed, he ripped that thing from top to bottom. And he said, I have just made a door. Hallelujah. I have just made a door, and now you can come in and out. I am the door, and if anyone come in by me, he shall be saved. Amen. It's not just talking about being saved from wrath. It's talking about being saved in his presence. We can dwell in the presence of God because he has made a way. He said, and even Paul even said, come boldly. If you've ever been in the presence of God, you have a problem coming boldly. You want to crawl in there. Matter of fact, you want to sit outside and just look. I'll never forget, I know this freaks some people out, but I'll never forget the first time I saw the sentry that stands here at times. I'll never forget it. It was after service. We'd had an amazing service. I was here by myself on Sunday morning. I walked back in the auditorium. And when I walked back in the auditorium, I looked up. And when I looked up, there was a white figure over 10 feet tall standing in this place right here. And I didn't go, well, would you look at that? No. I had sat down at a pew in the back because I was going to answer some text messages. And I looked up. When I looked up, I saw it, and I actually dropped on my knees behind the pew. And for weeks after that, when I came into the auditorium to pray, I mean, you feel like a little boy. I would come to that back door and I would push the door open. And I would look around. Why? Because the heavenly presence is overpowering, and that was just an angel who is a ministering spirit sent forth to minister for me, who is an heir of salvation. That's just our helpers. That's just the ones that God has assigned in the invisible realm to walk with us and work with us. And there's a bunch of them. Pastor Sam Conley said something here the other day that just, you know, my mind just went poof. He said, you know, everybody keeps talking about that a third of the angels are gone from heaven because the devil took them. He said angels are created beings. God can create as many angels as he wants. There is not a third of angels missing out of heaven because God is the creator. He is the replenisher. Heaven has full staff. Hallelujah. Man, it's got to be Holy Spirit. I'm so tired today, I wanted to lay down and take a nap on the floor. It's been a busy week. I've been asked God to give me the energy of Bishop Tim Hill. He's the same age I am. He's the head of the Church of God from Cleveland, Tennessee. And that guy flies all over the world. He oversees the whole Church of God organization. And he'll fly to Africa one day. He'll preach in a conference in Africa, fly to Europe the next day, preach in a conference in Europe, and the whole time overseeing the Church of God. And then he'll fly home and do a conference at home. And then and every time he preaches, it's like the first time he ever preached. I've watched him. I said, God, I don't like that guy. Actually, I do. I think he's amazing. But he makes me feel bad. It's like, come on. I grab myself by the nap. Come on, get up. You can do this. We have opportunity to come in where we have not. Verse 20 says, by a new and living way, a new door has been opened for us, which he consecrated. It is not a temporary door, which he consecrated for us. Through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, we are instructed, let us draw near with a true heart. Oh, if every church, if every Christian in America would get up on Sunday morning and when their eyes opened up and they look and they say, oh, let us draw near with a true heart full of confidence and faith. Let us get in the presence of God together. What a difference it would make in this nation. If we did that every day. There's a lot of times when my alarm goes off early on Sunday morning, I'm usually awake anyway. And the alarm goes off, I have these things I call first thoughts. As soon as that alarm goes off on Sunday morning, usually the statement that comes out of my mind is, let's do this. Amen. It's not, oh God, it's Sunday. No. It's, whoa, I feel good. Let's get up and do this thing. Amen. Let's get up and get in the presence of God. Let's get up and worship God. Let's get up and praise God. We've been invited in to a place that was illegal for us to go to, and yet we, by the blood of Jesus, by the covering of his blood, we can get up and we can enter in with boldness. He is the door. has been opened for us. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. The reason Paul threw that in there is because in the spiritual, God prepares us. The priest had to go through a cleansing process in order. It was important how they bathed. It was important what they wore to go into the presence of God. And Paul is saying that God has prepared us. He has given us the robe of righteousness to wear. He has cleansed us with the washing of water by the word of God. He has purified us and made us ready and qualified to enter the presence of God. With our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Oh, I like this. For he who promised is faithful. I've never found him to be unfaithful. In 45 years of ministry, I've never found him to be unfaithful. Times when things absolutely have gone wrong, I found him to be faithful. Times when I had a hard time staying committed, I found him to be faithful. Times when people were not faithful, I found him to be faithful. Times when I was ready to give up, I've always found him ready to go. Times when I felt weak, I've always found him to be strong. Times when I thought, God, I can't do this, Holy Spirit said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Get up! I've told you so many times about a time in Africa where I was so weak. I'd been laying unconscious in a stranger's house. Thank God he sent angels to take care of me. I ended up in a stranger's house. They cared for me until I woke up. I'll never forget waking up in the middle of the night. And I'm thinking, where am I at? What's going on? What happened? Last I remember is being in a little clinic in an airport that they got me to and convulsing violently, looking down on my body and saying, why are you doing that? My body was convulsing violently and they was trying to hold me on this gurney. And it's like I'm looking down on myself and I'm saying, quit that. Why are you doing that? Then I remember through blurry eyes not being able to see. All I could make out was some colors and shapes, almost blind. And I remember this guy coming up to the side of my bed after I'd went in and out of consciousness for hours. And this man, I open my eyes and there's a man standing by the side of my bed. I could see his shape. And the little nurse, I think she's 4 feet tall. She could barely see over the edge of the bed. When I opened my eyes, she said, I have brought you an angel. And I looked and I said, okay. And this guy introduced himself to me. He said, I've been looking for you for 2 hours. I got a call that there was an American pastor sick at the airport. And I've been looking for you for 2 hours, trying to find you. And then I was gone again. Next time I woke up, he was standing there and he said, they say you have to go to the hospital. You're very ill. You've got to go to the hospital. I said, no. I'm not going to the hospital. I got to go to Rwanda. And he said, you can't go to Rwanda. There's no health care in Rwanda and you're very ill. I said, I am not going to the hospital because I had enough sense to understand where I was at. I was in Johannesburg, South Africa, where the death rate from AIDS is higher than the birth rate. You go in the hospital in that country and you're almost guaranteed to come out with AIDS. And I said, I am not going to the hospital. He said, then would you come home with me? I said, best offer I've had. Last thing I remember, them loading me up in a car. And then after a while, I woke up in the middle of the night. I was out for a couple of days. And I woke up. It was nighttime. It was dark. Oh, listen to me. It don't matter what's going on with you. It don't matter if you're all by yourself. It doesn't matter if you feel like everybody's gone, nobody there to help you. I found somebody that's faithful, that never leaves you nor forsakes you. He's with you. He's closer than a brother. He'll stick with you no matter what happens. And I opened my eyes in a strange place, wondering where am I at? And all of a sudden I thought, I think I'm going to live. What a revelation. I think I'm going to live. But I'll never forget the realization that through all of that, I never felt alone. I was never afraid. Because there was somebody. There was somebody that was right there walking with me. And I told him, I said, God, if this is where it ends, I'll see you in a few minutes. But if it's not, you might ought to do something. If you want some more miles out of me, you need to do something. And he got a few more miles out of me. That's been several years ago. Amen. And several experiences like that since, but he's got a few more miles out of me. Hallelujah. I'm like an old car, keeps breaking down, God keeps fixing. Hallelujah. I've made up my mind that I will live and my heart will beat until the moment God decides that he's done with me, and then I'm out of here. I'm sorry. I get a little overwhelmed with this stuff. God is not just a blessing. He's your heavenly Father. And he'll walk with you. You fall down and get a boo-boo, he'll get you up and clean you up and put a Band-Aid on you and help you heal up. And then there's times that nothing else works but him just scooping you up in his arms, putting you on his lap and just holding you and hugging you for a while. We are the children of God. And we've been invited in. You know, I was just going to mention those verses real fast. It became the main part of my message. We're not finished. God's not finished. Whatever the world, what kind of craziness the world's going through has nothing to do with God. If God decides to do something, he'll move whatever needs to be moved. He'll make whatever needs to be made, and he'll provide whatever needs to be provided to get it done. Amen. I was talking to some missionaries the other day that said we actually, for the first time in our life, we realized that we had experienced a miracle. They said, we had food. We went in to feed some people in a place where there had been devastation, and we had a certain amount of food. And said, they said we had food for about 500 people, and I forget how many people showed up. It was well over 1,000 people. And they just kept handing out food. And when they got to the end of it, they realized that everybody had eaten. And they hadn't even noticed. Are you listening to me? They wasn't even paying attention. They're just serving food. And next thing you know, they had food for 500, and there was over 1,000 that had ate, and they still had food left over. And suddenly they thought, oh, 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 he's faithful. I want to experience that. Amen. I don't care if it's in Mexico, I'll tear off a burrito and hand it to him. You know, just start tearing off pieces. If it's in India, I'll keep tearing off the butter naan bread. Just keep having. Of course, I'll get a bite every once in a while. That's really good, especially the garlic butter naan. Wherever it's at, God is faithful. And God's not finished with the body of Christ in America. He's not finished with the church. And God is activating the body of Christ in a way that I've never seen in my entire life. I am seeing the body of Christ being activated and coming to attention. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. It was dangerous for me to get to enjoying my own message because I just keep preaching. I'm going to read this word that God gave me in the beginning of 2019. I've read this several times, but we need to keep reading it because God is not done with us. And he's counting on us to come in agreement with him. He's come in agreement with us. We need to come in agreement with him. This word says, declare it, declare it, declare it. Speak to the inhabitants of heaven. Speak to the inhabitants of earth. I have put my vision in your mind and my words in your mouth. Release my spirit through your declarations. God has given us words. These are not our declarations. They are the declarations of God, and we need to speak them because we are coming in agreement with who he is and what he plans. Hallelujah. Send forth the worshipers to beckon my presence, for my glory must come upon the darkness and my light dispersing the shadows of man. We are seeing that right now. The light of God is coming upon the darkness, and his light is dispersing the shadows of man. The dark, ugly, perverted things that have been going on behind the scenes are being shown. The light is shining on it, and it's going to continue to come out. And instead of the body of Christ getting upset and can't believe what they've been doing, we've been asking God to show it. We've been asking God to reveal it. And he's jerking the covers off this thing and showing it. And that's not a time for the church to back up and get in disbelief, but it's time for us to step forward and start shining the light and dispersing the shadows of man. Rise up, rise up, rise up, you warriors. We got some warriors in this house. For my possession has been stolen. Remember we've been talking about the spoils of war? My possession has been stolen, and my land has been laid waste. Break down the barriers, for I have put strength in your arms. Pry open the doors, for I put power in your hands. Deliver the hostages and rescue the perishing, for they are mine. Whew. Hallelujah. Glory. God is activating the body of Christ to a point that we're beginning to see the body of Christ literally invading the darkness and taking the hostages out of darkness. We are surrounded by people being held hostage. We got generations of people being held hostage. And God is sending forth. I put my blueprints in your hands. This was declared over and over and over yesterday. I have put my blueprints in the hands of the builders and my strategies in the hearts of my kings. No longer will the singers mourn or the warriors hide in defeat. The sound of the hammer will again ring in the earth, for my kingdom is expanding and my house is being filled. God is not finished with us. We haven't seen the invasion yet. We've just been seeing the boot camps come to an end and the soldiers getting commissioned. Hallelujah. Glory. Stand with me today. Hallelujah. There's a commissioning that's going on in the body of Christ. We're seeing it. We saw it yesterday. I wouldn't be surprised. We're planning to have another prayer synod in 6 months in March. I wouldn't be surprised if we have a hard time finding a place to have it. You know why? Not because we got anything to draw them in our nature or natural self, but people are being drawn together because God is activating the body of Christ. He is commissioning and he's saying, rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up. Hallelujah. You warriors of the Lord, rise up. And see, in order for us to do that, I preached in a leaders conference Friday morning. And in order to do that, we've got to be wise to the devil's tactics. I started out talking about how the devil courts us. We got to be wise to his tactics because there's a lot of witchcraft being launched against the body of Christ. They're doing it on purpose. They're in this area. They absolutely hate what's going on, and they're trying to send their little spells against us. And I got to tell you something, they will work. And they have worked. You know why? Because we don't realize the devil's tactics. He doesn't come like some ghoulish monster trying to scare you. What he does, he comes in the form of an offense, an insult, an aggravation, a frustration, a personality conflict. Because he knows that if he can get us to become soulishly powerful through resentment, through bitterness, through envy, through jealousy, through strife, he knows if he can get our soul to take control, that he can manipulate that. And it has worked over and over and over. I'm ready to see it stop working myself. I'm ready to see the devil get scared. I'm ready to get him really upset because all of a sudden he says, oh no, they're not falling for it this time. They know me. They know what I'm doing. I said something yesterday that I'd never said before, and I heard it when I was driving down early in the morning yesterday, driving down to Branson. I said, God, what do you want us to do today? I was just praying and saying, God, lead us, direct us, Holy Spirit, take control. And this is what I heard in my spirit. I believe it was the Holy Spirit because, I mean, if it's me, it had to be. Come on, somebody. We all know that. Yeah, we think if we thought it, it had to be God. I believe it's Holy Spirit. And he said, I want you to give the angels goosebumps today. Never thought of that. I mean, that's the strangest sounding thing. He said, I want you to give the angels goosebumps. You know how you give the angels goosebumps? You yield to God and walk in his power. And you resist the devil and he flees from you. And all of a sudden the angels go, whoa, did you see that? They yielded. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for the amazing things you do for us. And God, we know that, Lord, you can do anything and everything, whatever needs to be done. But Father, forgive us for following you for that. Lord, we want to enter into your presence because we want to be in your presence. Lord, we don't want to enter into the presence of heaven just to try to get more of earth. Father, thank you for maturing us in the body of Christ, where we understand the blessing is just an outflow of the relationship. And Father, I pray today that relationship with you, walking in covenant with you, will become the most important thing in our lives. Hallelujah, we've been invited in to the holy place.